been to a lot of places. I have seen a lot of things. Mine eyes have viewed the beauty of so many wondrous things. From the flowers in the springtime, in a valley deep and wide, from the majesty of mountains, by the ocean's swelling tide. But these things soon fade away, they seem to grow so small, when I compare them to the greatest miracle of all. For the greatest thing my eyes have seen is a changing of a life, when a sinner falls down on his knees and gives his heart to Christ. Nothing moves my soul to tears like the joy redemption brings. To witness true salvation is the greatest thing my eyes have ever seen. I have seen the dying, hopeless soul find joy and peace and love. I have seen them pass from death to life by the power of Jesus' blood. From the wealthy born in riches to the poor and hopeless man, from the oldest one to the youngest child, receive salvation's plan. There are many things I'd like to see before this journey ends, but they can't compare to what I'll see when a soul is born again. When a sinner falls down on his knees and gives his heart to Christ, nothing moves my soul to tears like the joy redemption brings. And to witness true salvation is the greatest thing my eyes. Nothing moves my soul to tears like the joy redemption brings. And to witness true salvation is the greatest thing my eyes have ever seen.
Thank you for that. Let's stand together briefly. Let's stand together. We'll read some verses in John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Thank you for being here, Memorial Day weekend. John chapter 9. We're going to look at a story here. That was a great song, and that is true. Behave yourself, Raul. We're going to have the ushers take you to the nursery. Actually, I wouldn't do that to the nursery workers. John chapter 9, verse 1. John chapter 9, verse 1. We'll read the first 12 verses of John. We'll pray, and we'll let you be seated. Thank you again for being here today. And it says in verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifested in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto them, unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning again. Thank you for this place you've given us. I pray, Lord, in these few minutes we have together that you'd speak to our hearts. You'd help us, Lord, to see the joy and sometimes the difficulties of being a true Christian. Be with us now, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we've been in a little series. We took a couple weeks there off there because of the offering Sunday. We've been looking at what did Jesus do, not what would Jesus do, because very few people actually do what Jesus did. We just want to know what Jesus really did do. Not a marketing scheme. It's a life changing adventure, if we'll let it. In this story here, the story goes through the chapter. We have the story of a blind man that receives his sight. He was born blind. The disciples see it, and they make it a theological debate. You know, hey, Jesus, now, instead of saying, hey, this guy's blind, he can use some help, it's like, no, Jesus, why is this guy blind? You know, is this, or something happened? His parents, what's going on here? Jesus said basically that it's for the glory of God. Jesus heals the man, and now things start to get a little interesting. As you go on in the chapter, his neighbors see him, and they're a little confused there. And then they take him to the Pharisees, the religious people, the people that ought to be excited that God was working, and they weren't so excited after all. They were upset that Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath day. How dare he do that? That's work. And after all, that's violating the Sabbath. No, it was not. They're trying to discount the healing, and then they give the man a hard time, and then they call his parents in to try to find a loophole that maybe he wasn't really blind, and then the parents say, hey, look, this is our son. We know he's blind. You talk to him. So I talk to him again. The guy starts talking to them. They don't want to hear it. They send him on his way, and then he meets Jesus. Now, we're going to look at some of that in a minute. But spiritually speaking, people are not always what they seem. It seems sometimes that the people in this life that think they have everything figured out and they understand it, they don't need God, and I got everything on the... They're not the people that really have sight. They're the real blind people of this world. They think they got everything figured out. I don't need God. I don't care what kind of car they drive. I don't care how big their bank account is. If they don't know God, they're blind. They're blind. They can't get through the key problems of life. But the people that know that they are sinners, that know they need help, they know they don't know everything, those are the ones that Jesus gives the sight to. Jesus is the light of the world. And when the light comes, it can reveal to us the true darkness that is in our heart. How do we know that, spiritually speaking, that we're not seeing things right? Because the light shines on there. When the light shines on there, we realize we're in darkness and we don't see it. The light shines in our heart first, and then we receive Christ, and then we see the light of the life of this earth. There was a mining explosion many years ago in West Virginia, and these men got trapped in this dark, it was just black darkness of this little crevice there. And so they were all sitting there, and they were trying to drill down to get to the men, and they did eventually get to them. But the first thing they did was get a little hole down there to get some air to them, and then they dropped down a light. And being in the darkness like that, the men were all excited that finally there was at least a little bit of light, and they were coming for us. But there was one man that was there when the light got down and said, they should have broke through by now. Where's the light? They come to find out that in the explosion, this man had lost his sight. But he didn't know that until the light came. That's how we were before we met Jesus Christ. We walked in darkness and we didn't understand that until the light of the glorious gospel explained our darkness, and now we can walk in light. We see some interesting things about our life that come once we've experienced the light of Jesus Christ. See, this miracle pictures salvation, as we mentioned. Once we're saved, the light of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and now we see life from God's perspective. The Spirit of God dwells inside of us. And really, as Errol sang about, it makes a difference. There ought to be a change. We're going to look at this story today from two different perspectives. This man that had his sight restored. We're going to look at the perspective of those who were around him. And then we're going to look at life and the story from the perspective of the one who received his sight. And I think we'll hear some things that will help us in our own life as we seek to live in the life and the light of Jesus Christ. First of all, I want us to see the seeing people who saw the man. These were people that they weren't blind in their past. They could see. This guy, man, was blind. These people could see. And this man is healed, but through the healing, what did they really see in this man? Not everybody was on board with what happened to him. Some of them were okay with it. Some of them didn't know what was going on. And some of them were just downright mean-spirited. Now, let me say this. The same thing will be true of anybody who trusts Christ. Not everybody's going to get it. You say, well, I'm saved and I don't have problems with anybody. Then you're not saved correctly, or you're hiding it. Because if you don't hide it, people are going to notice it. When that man was blind and he got up and he was walking around and he was doing fine, they, regardless of what they said, regardless of what the Pharisees tried to do, there's one thing they could not deny. He could see. So what were some of the things that the seeing people had problems with? First of all, I want you to notice they were confused. The neighbors, verse 8 says, the neighbors, therefore, they saw him before that was blind and said, is not this he that sat and begged? They're like, is this the guy that was blind? And then some of them got together and said, I think it's him. The other said, I don't think it's someone like him. And he had to step up and say, I'm the guy. But there was confusion there. It's like, wait a minute. This doesn't seem like the guy that was that was blind before. I'm not sure what's going on. There was confusion. By the way, if you get saved and you start living in the life, people are going to be confused about you. It's different to them. See, that was not. Look, they didn't see the guy and say, "Oh, look, he must have got laser surgery. He can see now." This wasn't something. I heard a story many years ago that a man, he had an accident, and the accident caused him to lose his sight. And he was outside many years later, and he got struck by lightning. And his eyesight came back. Usually you die. Okay? And they're like, they were kind of, now that's different. But this guy was born blind. He didn't have the capability to see at all. And there was no advance, no doctor, no medicine. They're like, there's something different. What's going on here? This man can now see. That's what happens to us. When he came seeing, they knew something happened, but it was out of their they couldn't comprehend it. By the way, the only people that are going to comprehend it when we start living for God after we're saved are people who are saved. They get it because they've experienced it. But other people are like, how did this guy, weren't you the guy who used to be a drunkard? Weren't you the guy who used to do this? How come you're not doing it? There's confusion there. People aren't all, not everybody's going to be excited about what's going on with you. By the way, all of us are born blind in our sin. Because of that, we all have a tendency to live a godless life. Now, we may be cleaned up, but we're not doing what God tells us to do in His Word. That happens. And when that happens, it causes confusion. We may say that, you know, look, when we don't know Jesus Christ, you know, people, the thing is, in our society, everybody wants to be different. They want to be a rebel. I'm a rebel. You know what we do as rebels? We do what everybody else does, right? That's why there are fads. I don't know if when I was a kid in the 70s, there was a stupid fad. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say stupid. There was an ill-advised fad, Brother Pineda, and it was Pet Rocks. How many remember Pet Rocks? Man, I got one for Christmas. I'm like, I'll use it to break someone's window. I mean, what do you do with a pet rock? By the way, you don't have to clean up after him. He's pretty, you know, they come trained. You get a little box, and there's a rock in there, and that's your pet rock. How many remember mood rings? It's like, no, I didn't wear rings. The only ring I wear is this one, and it has changed my mood quite often. let me see what it says. Today's a bummer. Okay, good. No, yes, today's a good day. My wife's smiling. But mood rings, and you would wear it, it would change colors to tell you what mood you're in. We all follow fads, you know, skinny jeans. Skinny jeans? You can't breathe. By the way, and maybe this is just personal, and it has nothing to do with the Bible, but you don't look good in them. Let's just move on from there. You know, I remember when we used to go buy Levi's. Last summer, we're going on vacation. I need some Levi's. I go down to Kohl's, my wife's second church, and I'm like, you know, I know my size. By the way, my size is getting better, but I know my size. And I'm like, it's like from here to there, it's like different colors. Some of them look like they're already old. Some of them, they did you a favor, they have holes already. Some are skinny, some are slim. I'm like, listen, whatever happened to Levi's? You know, I want the tag in the back. That's all I want. I don't want to have to take 20 minutes to find out, like, do I want this one or that one or this one? And that one looks like someone spilled paint on it. I just want a pair of jeans. But anyhow, we're getting off. The point is, there's a fad that starts, and we're all rebels, so let's all do the same thing. That's what happens when we don't know Jesus Christ. We may say we're different. We may say we're doing our own thing, but spiritually speaking, we all just kind of get in line. We just kind of follow the herd. Ephesians tells us about that. Chapter 2 and verse 1 to 3, it says, and you hath he quickened, that means brought back to life, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's talking to those who were blind. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. See, when we weren't saved, we just followed the course of the world. What is the world? That's the principles of the unsaved society that we follow. Okay? And it says, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We just naturally disobey God because we don't know him. Among whom also we had our conversation, that means manner of life, the way we lived, in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature the children of wrath, even as others. So see, there's just a certain way we naturally go when we don't know the Lord, and it's typically against the principles of God. But when that changes, people are confused. First Peter talks about that. It says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So there's some people, it's like, how come they're not doing what we used to do? How come they don't act the way we act? How come they're different? I mean, what's going on? And then some of them are going to speak evil of you. That's just the way it works. They're confused. I remember my dad. I used to work for my dad when I was a teenager. He had an auto electric store, and he rebuilt alternators and generators and starters. Most of them were Fords because, you know, they always broke down. But we hardly ever did Chevys. I don't know why. But I'd go work for him. And I worked for him when I was godless. And, you know, it's like, man, you need to straighten up, son. Cut your hair. That was a problem back in the day. Now it's not an issue. I got that one down. You know, cut your hair, son, and why are you doing this? And the way I talked and the way I act, and he was always getting on me. So I worked for him for a while, and then I wasn't working for him, and then I got right with God, and I came back, and I'm like, he needed help. I'm like, I'll work for you, Dad. And I was different. And then he comes up and he says, what's wrong with you? Why don't you go out and do that? It's like, wait a minute. You wanted me not to do those things, and now you're telling me to go make up your mind. But he was confused about it. He had no idea what happened to me. And I tried to explain it to him, and he's like, I don't want to hear it. But that's happened sometimes. People get confused about you. But some get curious. Verse 10 says, therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes open? They said, now, wait a minute. I know there's something going on here. How did that happen? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus, that's a pretty good place, made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam. And he tells them how this happened. Now they want to know some of the particulars. What happened? What's going on with you? Now you have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. I remember one time, this was not typical, Robert. It was Friday night, and I was home on Friday nights. That was not normal. Kind of freaked my mom out a little bit. Like, what's going on with this kid? I remember one Friday night, and I didn't do this every Friday night, a couple of my friends who I hadn't seen in a while, they come knock on my door. They ask my mom, where's Steve? And I was back in my room, and she comes and gets me and brings me up, and they're like, what's going on with you? What are you doing? So what are you doing right now? And I wasn't doing this all the time. It's not like I did it 24/7, but it just so happens I was at that time. I said, you guys really want to know what I was doing? Oh, yeah. I said, I was reading my Bible. And I got that look. I'm like, I'm a Christian now. I like Jesus. In fact, they're like, you know, we got to go. Listen, by the way, never be afraid to tell somebody about Jesus. I remember not long after that, I'm at home again, you know, and I wasn't always at home, but I'm at home and I got a call. My mom said, hey, this is a call for you. And as a girl I hadn't seen in a year, went out with her a couple times, she called, she goes, hey, this is so-and-so, do you remember me? I'm like, oh yeah, I remember you. It was one of those ones you remember, you know what I'm saying? Not because she was the size of Statue of Liberty or something, but I said, oh, yeah, I remember you. And she's like, hey, my parents are gone. Why don't you come over? I'm kind of bored. And she's like, I'm like, oh, man, I can't go over there. And I'm like, you know, I need to say something here. And she's like, you know, and she's really, come on, you know, my parents are out of town. I'm like, I got to say something. And I kept avoiding answering her. Come on over. You know, this. And finally she said, look, what have you been doing? I thought, bingo, there's my opportunity. I said, I got saved. She's like, it was quiet on the phone. Said, I go to church. I kind of love Jesus. And she's like, oh, hey, that's a good thing. Hey, you know, I got to go. But I looked at every opportunity. Listen, so by the way, one of my friends that came on that Friday night by my house, I brought him to church. He got saved. Some of them were like, what's going on with you? You know what? A man that is called Jesus. You get the opportunity to tell them what's going on. Always look for that opportunity. But let me say this, not to be negative, some of them were condemning. The Pharisees, they get all over the guy. You know, what's wrong with you? No, Jesus isn't of God and all this stuff. And, you know, this is just some fad you're going through, you know. You'll get over this Jesus thing. By the way, it's been since 1980. I'm still not over it. Okay, I haven't got over it yet, and I'm planning not to get over it ever. It's not a fad. Okay, it's who I am now. And by the way, some people don't like it. By the way, don't be mean to them. By the way, we're living in a society now where it's getting worse. I'm just telling you. You're a Christian. You're this, this, and this. I was listening to a guy, and I had to turn the radio off. He was talking about pedophiles. He goes, you know, statistically speaking, pedophiles are white Christian men. By the way, he wouldn't have said Muslim. He wouldn't have said homosexual. He wouldn't have said transgendered, but he had no problem blaming Christians. Be careful. We're supposed to love the world. But can I just tell you something? They're not going to love us. I'm not saying let's be mean. We're supposed to do everything we can to live peaceably with God and man. But if someone doesn't like us, and it's because of Jesus, let's love them and be kind, but let's not get freaked out about it. Because what happens sometimes is the way we live as Christians bothers them. Because in some instances, they know the way they're living isn't right. And so what they try to do is bring us down to their level. That way they feel better. That's why if you work somewhere and you tell them you're a Christian and you did something wrong, they're all over it. All over it. We live in a confused society. But as Christians, we believe there is a singular truth. I got a new app on my phone, and you had to sign up for it. And so they asked some questions about you. The first question was your gender. There were three options. Male. That was me. Female. That was not me. Other. Now, I'm not a brain surgeon. But I'm pretty sure that it stops at male or female. When our children were born, it's like, what is it? The ultrasound. It looks like a boy. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, it's a girl. Oh, no, it's another. There is no other. Do you understand the farther away our society gets from the truth, the screwier things get? that is controversial to say there's only two, man and woman. That's not controversial. It's common sense. And the majority of the people in our society understand that, but they're afraid to say anything because Bruce Jenner might get upset. Because the media tells you that that's not caring. We love everybody, but come on, you're either a man or a woman. Let's get back to Jesus. But because we do believe the Bible, they won't like us sometimes. Now, let's not have them not like us because we have a weird personality. Okay? Let's not all put shirts on that say, turn or burn. You have a picture of an egg frying in a pan. This is you. Okay? That's just goofy. That's goofy. Okay? But you know what? Not everybody will be excited about your salvation. But you know what? Why don't you just be excited? Okay? Be kind. Be loving to them. Let them be mean. Don't you be mean, but stand your ground and love Jesus Christ. Realize they're tearing you. If someone's trying to tear you down at work, that's because you're doing something right. Okay? If you're doing something wrong, they'll let you know. So that's the people that saw him. Now, what about the blind man who saw Christ? Let me give you a couple things about him. You know, his life from that point on was drastically altered. I love the song Amazing Grace. I read the story about John Newton who wrote the hymn. Fascinating story. Great guy. He was a heathen of the utmost degree. I've told you this before. He said before he was a Christian, his goal was if he was in the presence of someone for 20 minutes to corrupt them. That was his goal. I want to be a corrupt influence on them. They called him, his nickname was the Great Blasphemer. Slave trader. This guy was not good. What happened to him? He's on a ship one time, and he came from a Christian mother, but she died at an early age, and so he had the influence of his father, who was a sailor, and he was working on ships, slave trader, and he actually got he owed somebody something. He was a slave for a while, and he was able to escape from that, and here he is on this ship in the middle of the storm, and it looked like the ship was going down, and he trusted Christ, and God changed his life. That song, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. See, he was different. And if you're saved, you ought to be different. How do we know he was different? Well, we see that he willingly confessed in verse 9. We're like, hey, is this the blind man? I'm the guy. And there was a man named Jesus that did this to me. Now, he didn't completely understand it right now, but he knew what happened. And he willingly told people. You know, I can tell if someone is really gets their Christianity. You know how you know? They'll tell people. They'll tell people. When I first got saved, I started going to church. That time my mom was coming. She started coming with me. Then my aunt, and she got saved a week after I got right with God. Then down the street was my mother, my Aunt Vera, and my grandmother. And we got them come to church with us, my mom and I, then my grandmother, and then my brother-in-law, my sister, lived with us. And he was a pagan guy, tough guy too, but pagan. I bothered him a little. I remember one Sunday morning, he got up. So what are you doing, Pete? He goes, I'm coming to church with you guys. All right. Came to church that Sunday, got saved, got baptized that Sunday morning. I remember when I first started Gold Soul, go out with Pete. So now we had those people coming. My Aunt Judy, my Uncle Jim started coming to church with us. My Aunt Nancy and her family. By the time, within a couple months, we had like two or three pews of just my family at church. We just wouldn't be silent about it. Got my friends. Some of my friends came to church. Now, some of them didn't like it. Some of them got saved. See, when someone gets saved and they really get it, man, they're like, I want other people to have this. This is pretty good. This is good stuff. And he didn't mind telling people. By the way, you say, well, I'm just real quiet. I don't want people to know. You're a witness one way or another. You're either a good witness or you're a bad witness. It's up to you. It's your choice. I'll be a silent witness. That doesn't work either. So we see he was not afraid to share it. We also see he wanted comprehension in his life. You see, he didn't completely understand everything. He knew Jesus had given him sight, but he didn't understand everything. And he meets Jesus Christ later, and he totally gets it. We'll see that in a minute. You see, when you're first saved, you understand salvation, but you don't understand a whole lot. I didn't understand anything. You could have said, hey, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Fred. And I'd have said, okay, where is it? I didn't know. You know, where's Hezekiah? I don't know. Hezekiah's over here. Thanks for being here, bud. But where's Hezekiah? Said, man, I don't know. Who's she? Who's she married to? That's a guy. Okay, it's one of the kings. I knew nothing. I remember one time I went to church and Pastor Black was gone and Brother Sisson got up and he talked about the Trinity. And I heard about the Trinity. I'm like, wow, look at that's in the Bible. I was blown away by that. But as I went on, the comprehension started coming. See, salvation is not the end. Salvation's the beginning. We start from salvation. We go forward from there. Listen, we're not supposed to be spiritually ignorant 5-10 years after we get saved. We're supposed to grow in our faith. We're supposed, you know, what happens is we don't grow. We stick around for a while. Then we start to back up a little bit. We get complacent. We're not in our Bibles anymore. We're not faithful to church like we should be. We used to sing in the choir. Now I'm too busy to sing in the choir. We used to help in the nursery and, you know, the kids are brats. And yes, they're brats. All of them are brats. Sometimes little kids, like even now some grandkids, like, man, she's acting like a 2-year-old because she's 2. That's how 2-year-olds act, okay? But we start to back off. Why? We're not growing in our understanding from there. He didn't understand everything. By the way, you say, man, I just got saved. I don't quite comprehend everything. Keep going forward. It's okay. Just understand this. Jesus loved you. Jesus saved you. You're on your way to heaven. And get in the book. Be faithful to church. You'll be all right. We'll get to where we're supposed to be. And then look at this. He also welcomed change. I like verse 25. He answered and said, he's talking to the Pharisees, and they're trying to be all doctrinal. Oh, you know, this guy's a sinner. He's on the Sabbath day, blah, 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 blah. And so he says, verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. He's like, man, listen, I don't understand everything about Jesus, but I like this. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He says, I don't get everything, but I know this, I'm different. I didn't understand everything when I started going forward with God, but I knew this, he was changing me. I wasn't the same person. I didn't have those same desires I used to have and all the things I used to do. It's like, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. Tired of that lifestyle. Tired of that nonsense. I wanted something different. And I used to be blind, and now I can see. You get tired of your life sometimes? By the way, as a Christian, you shouldn't get tired of your life. Man, you have Jesus Christ in your heart. You got it. You're missing it. If you're not allowing Jesus to do something in your life, you are missing it. By the way, it's not some choir boy up here tonight. You grew up in the church nursery. No, I didn't. By the way, I wish I would have grew up in the church nursery. I wish that I would have been in church from day one. But I only went to church a handful of times before I was out of high school. And I wish I would have had that kind of life. But I can tell you this, you ain't fooling me. I know what the other side's like. It's not good. Oh, but there's excitement and there's this and that. But it's wrong. And it brings bad consequences. And I never experienced joy until I got with Jesus Christ. And I'm like, yeah. Amen. And I had no future. What was your future? Man, I got kicked out of high school. I don't want to go to high school anymore. I ain't going to college. I had no future, but I got Jesus Christ. I got a future. Amen. I said, I don't know what the future is, but the future is I'm following him. Amen. Change. You say, but I've been a Christian for a while, and I'm not really changing. Let me explain this to you. I've been there too. See, after I got saved, some people I think, you know, well, they say they're saved, and I wonder sometimes. But that's between you and God. But I knew I was saved even though I wasn't living for God because, man, once I got saved, God hammered me on everything. He convicted me. He was saying, hey, there's, but you know why I didn't change? Because I didn't want to. It wasn't until I came to a place where I said, Lord, I'm tired of this. I give in. I want to serve you. I want a different life. Once I got to the point, God said, I'm in. So you know what we do? We want to sit around over here and say, all right, Lord, change me. What's happening here? Nothing's happening. Duh. We've got to do our part. By the way, you can't change by yourself. The Spirit of God changes you. But he won't change you unless you get up and go for it. You say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to get up today. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do the things I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to go forward. Give me the power to do this. And as we go forward, he gives us the power. Amen. The things I couldn't give up before, there was things even before I was saved I wanted to give up, and I couldn't. But once I got saved, I said, I'm going forward. Those things just fell away like that. Why? Because Steve wasn't doing it anymore. That's third person. I don't like third person. I wasn't doing it anymore. You know, well, Steve says. I wasn't doing it. You know who was doing it? The Spirit of God was doing it. But I had to welcome it. By the way, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So I don't know, that Christian life is kind of. And by the way, it was weird to me. I walked into church. I looked like I just fell off the streets. They all look nice. I'm like, man, these aren't the kind of girls I was used to seeing. Yeah. Like, you know, this is just different. But you know what? But the Spirit of God in me said, but it's good stuff, isn't it? And they were friendly. And they were kind. Man, they were loving. And they had my best interest at heart.
Yeah, there you go.
I wasn't on board with the music right away because that's not what I listened to.
Yeah.
But as I got in there, I said, you know what? I'm not listening to my junky music, but, you know, I just don't need music. But then I got in church, I'm like, wow, that's a good truth. The Spirit of God changes us. But don't worry about what your friends are saying. Because they're just as miserable as you are inside. They're hiding it. Everybody hides it. Something better. You know, you only have one life to live. Grab it by the horns and go for it. Man, you only have one life to live. Why would you want to waste it being miserable and doing your own thing? Man, most exciting life in the world is a Christian life. The last thing is this, we see he worshiped Christ. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. They threw him, the Pharisees got rid of him. Jesus kind of likes those people. You know, okay, they don't want you. I want you. Come this way. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said, thou hast both seen him, which would have been hard to do a while ago, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Finally connected with them. You know, the best thing about Christianity is a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Best thing about Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's not just some guy that hangs on a cross. Okay? By the way, we don't have a lot of crosses in here. I don't think we need them because Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. Not against the cross, all for it. But he came off the cross and he gives us new life.
Yeah.
It's not in a tomb either. And man, we can actually know him personally. That's the good thing. So I think that's where we miss it sometimes. We come to church and thinking that's enough. God doesn't just want us to come to church. He wants us to know him.
Amen.
That's like being married and going home once a week. Just going in the house and sitting around for a couple hours and then, all right, see you next Tuesday, sweetheart. The good thing about marriage is the relationship. Isn't that why you got married? See, you were seeing each other for a while, and it's like, I want this to be permanent. But some of you are thinking, man, I should have thought this thing through. Okay, we can help you with that. But it's kind of like, she's not just cute, she's actually, I like being with her. I'm all in on this thing. I don't just want someone to cook for me. By the way, for some of you, that'd be kind of hard. That square thing in your kitchen, that's called an oven. I don't know if you knew that. Same thing they have at Taco Bell. That's the beginning of the relationship. Now, some people say it's the beginning of the end, but we're not going to go there. Relationship. Man, I met Jesus Christ. That's the beginning. Are you growing in knowing him? That'll help you get through a lot of stuff. That'll help you get a lot of stuff. Worship him. We worship him privately. The way we live, spending time with him, thinking about him, getting to know him. But we also worship him publicly. How do we do? We do that as a church when we get together. This summer we'll talk about For to Flourish. I think everybody ought to be at church every service. So if you're not there yet, I'm not getting on you. You got to think about that. singing the songs of God, being with God's people. By the way, maybe that's why you struggle, because you're only with God's people one day a week, and when you're with a bunch of people, you probably shouldn't be with the rest of the week. I didn't get a lot of things when I was saved, but here's one thing I got. My friends are gone. Now, if they want to come to church with me and get saved, I love them. I cared about them. I tried to get them in the church. I actively went after them. But if they didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus, I love them still. They're my friends. They can come anytime they want, but they're going to come see me on my terms. I'm not going to go see them on their terms. I needed some people that were going to help me go the right direction, and I knew they weren't going the right direction. Okay? I knew it, and I didn't want to go that direction anymore. But we need better, you know, doing things and the stuff that we do, let's get in on Jesus Christ. If you're saved, he's given you sight. Let's live it. The saddest thing, and I'm done, is to see somebody who's received, well, here's a guy that's received sight. He wouldn't put blinders on him. I want to live like a blind man still. No way. No one would go back to that life. He was begging. You know what? He can go work for himself now. He had a whole lot of good things going on. I guarantee you didn't sit there and say, no, I wish I could go back to being blind again. Sometimes Satan throws the old life back at us. Remember those days? Yeah, I remember those days. They stunk. I'm so glad I got out of that as soon as I could. I should have got out of it earlier, but I didn't. That's my fault. But man, I don't want to go back to that. I can see. There's a lot of good things when you can see. Don't let other people get you down. And connect with Jesus Christ. Go forward from here. Let's pray.